Another St. Patrick's Day is almost history, but we still have time to talk with one of the most famous of all Irishmen in sports, the owner of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Mr. Walter O'Malley. We're going to try to reach him at his Vero Beach, Florida home in about 3 minutes from now. And that was the Cousins with their latest.
Has this ever happened to you? You're driving along, and then the monotony of driving gets you down. You're droopy. You've got the driving drowsies, and that could be dangerous. Well, fight back. Pull over and take No-Doze. It's got the strongest stimulant you can buy without a prescription, and it's not habit-forming. No-Doze. No car should be without it.
You know, in spring training, you hear about a lot of the new Babe Ruths and new Walter Johnsons, but one of the big events in spring training has always been Mr. Walter O'Malley's St. Patrick's Day party. And we've got Mr. O'Malley on the phone, and we want to get a scouting report from him on that. How are you, Mr. O'Malley?
Joe, how are you?
Fine. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Well, and the rest of the day to you, Joe.
Sure, that's the way you Irish are. You give us about 2 hours, right? You've had most of it. Thank you.
Your father used to send me a card, Joe.
Well, I'm going to have to send you one.
I sent you an invitation.
I didn't make it down here this year. Nothing personal now. You realize that I've been busy up here.
I noticed that.
I'll send you one for Columbus Day. How's that?
No, you don't have to, Joe, because, I have a surprise for you.
We did not have
a St. Patrick's Day party this year.
You didn't?
Well, you remember, Joe, it was a bad year. And right after the season closed, I went over to Ireland. I went to Drumoulin Castle. And I wanted to talk to St. Patrick about it because each year we've been having a party in his honor this time of the year, but it didn't work out for us.
Uh-huh.
I got over there, Joe, and he wasn't in. Like nobody much was in anyway this last winter. And I got thinking about it, and I said, well, it's leap year. Maybe we'll skip the St. Patrick's Day party for 1 year. And I got thinking about having a party for your patron saint, St. Joseph. So this year on Tuesday, we will have a St. Joseph's Day party with Italian costumes, Italian cuisine, Italian songs, Italian atmosphere, and everything else.
You know, I may not continue. You're making me cry.
I'll tell you, Joe, we got all your favorite dishes. Fettuccine, lasagna, ravioli.
Can I have some hot chocolate to drink?
Yeah, well, we have that, too.
Listen, who is the instigator of this? Is Buzzy Bavese the one that's coming up with this?
You know, it's sort of in honor of Emil Joseph Bavese, and the invitation, when you get it, I'm sorry you didn't get it, will show you that. But you know what Fresco Thompson said?
What?
He said, Walter, listen, you got all this Italian atmosphere on a St. Joseph's Day party, but St. Joseph was not Italian. He was Jewish.
Wait a minute.
What?
Why do we have to always get the fellas we read about in the papers that get 5-10 years and we got St. Joseph and you're going to take him away from us?
Well, Fresco said, you know, he's Jewish. And I said, that's all right. That's the answer to our problem this year. We'll get St. Joseph to intercede with NBC for us, and we'll get Sandy Koufax back.
Listen, that 1 year you made him an honorary Irishman, didn't you, Koufax?
Certainly did. We've got some Japanese players here this year, and they're honorary Irishmen, too.
If they can get that curveball over, they're okay, huh?
Well, this Horiuchi, you know, pitched the last inning yesterday, and he struck out Frank Robinson, and Robinson protested so loud on the way that curve broke that he got thrown out of the game.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He didn't go to his mouth twice before he threw that pitch now.
No, not in Japan, because we wouldn't understand it anyway.
I see. How is spring training going, Mr. O'Malley?
Joe, very seriously, this was sort of a bounce-back operation, and we needed it. We had a bad year last year, and you know, the spirit of the club, and I think the trades that were made, and the attitude of the new players, I'm more excited about it than I have been in 25 years.
Well, we look for a great race in both leagues, and the way you're talking, we almost guaranteed won the National League, huh?
Still going to do those games every Saturday?
I won't be doing them. I'll be doing a Today Show. I'll be on. You saw me with Lindemann. You know what I am. I'm a caddy for a vice president.
Well, that's all right. They got a lot of vice presidents up there, Joe, but we'd like to have Koufax back.
We'll try to make a deal with you.
Okay.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, and thank you for talking to us, Mr. O'Malley. Say hello to everybody.
You do that, Joe, and good luck to you, too.
Thank you, sir. Walter O'Malley, the owner of the Los Angeles Dodgers, on the last few hours here on St. Patrick's Day. But right now, to borrow from Maxwell Smart, would you believe that Cab Calloway's best saxophone player once broke his arm trying to throw a ball in from center field? You're probably wondering what he was doing out in center field. Well, Cab will tell us all about it shortly, so you stay right on the Monitor Beacon.
Monitor New York, your weekend sound on WNBC New York.
Stay right here on the NBC.
This weekend and every weekend, stay right here on WNBC for more Monitor New York. Starting Sunday, March 24th, I'll be here, Sterling Yates.
And I'll be here, Jim Gerhart, with more Monitor New York. I'm not putting you on.
And I'm not selling you short. Monitor New York, Sundays on WNBC, starting March 24th.
A newspaper route or a part-time job after school is the time-honored route to success, according to our American tradition. Especially at this time of year, spring and summer openings offer youngsters a chance to make some money. And they can fill jobs capably in a tight labor market. There are, however, working restrictions for teenagers. The New York State Department of Labor urges employers and ambitious youngsters alike to find out about the regulations. They are for everyone's protection.
Here comes more of the Monitor.
At 17 minutes after the hour, or any other time for that matter, there's no one finer than Dinah.
Trains and boats and planes are passing by. someone else, but not for me. The trains and the boats and planes took you away, away from me. We were so in love and high above, we had a star to wish upon wish, and dreams come true, but not for me. The trains and the boats and planes took you away, away from me.
It's a funny thing, but it's true. It seems like all ball players either want to be singers or band leaders, and all band leaders want to be ball players. And they do something about it. You know, you look at the ball players that are working today as performers. And remember Mudcat Grant and his Kittens? They broke it up with Frank Sinatra, of all people, among the ringsiders. Rosie Grier, I did a show with him, and he knows his way around a rock song, I guarantee you. Maury Wills with his guitar. Orlando Cepeda. You can go right on down for quite a while. And as for band leaders, you just listen as Cab Calloway talks big band baseball with former band singer and Monitor reporter Jack Haskell.
Well, Cab, do you remember when that was that you played in Cleveland back? I must have been in the 30s, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was at the Palace Theater. Of course, I had my baseball team with me in the band.
Team?
Yeah, I had a baseball team in the band, yeah. All of the musicians had to play baseball. And all the musicians had to play baseball, or else they couldn't work for me because, see, I was a baseball fan. I mean, I was just a wild baseball enthusiast. I played it pretty good, too. And I wasn't, I mean, I don't know if I could have made the majors, but, and we played a game there at out on the lakefront there in Cleveland, you know?
Sure, I was raised in Cleveland.
Yeah,
that's how I know.
Right on lakefront. And I never forget one of my fine saxophone players was playing center field, and a guy hit a ball out center field, and he went after this ball, and he didn't catch it, but he caught it on the front, on the bounce, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we hollered for him to throw it into second base, and the guy ran back to throw this ball in. We heard a crack, and he broke his arm.
that's above and beyond the call of duty, isn't it, throwing it that hard?
So I had five saxophones, so from then on, I had four.
Oh, that's funny. That's the funniest change in the instrumentation of a band I ever heard. He broke his arm playing baseball.
Yeah.
I remember when I was with Les Brown, we played baseball. All the bands had baseball teams. And I remember Harry James once fired a piano player who I would think his fingers were rather important to him, who refused to, I think his name was Jack Gardner. He fired him because he wouldn't play baseball on the baseball team.
Yeah, well, I never forget a game that we played out in In Los Angeles, against Jimmy Lunsford.
Right.
Jimmy Lunsford's band, we played his band.
Uh-huh.
And Jimmy was really some pitcher, boy. This guy could throw that ball.
He was pretty good at everything.
Yes, he could throw that ball. I think he struck out about 20 of us.
What do you see in the coming baseball season like for the Yankees?
Well, I don't know. I think the Yankees got going to have a pretty good shot this year. I think they've assembled a bunch of young ball players that are going to get them rolling again. And the same thing with the Mets, too.
Yes. Do you think that the fact that the expansion is going to make it tough for teams like the Yankees? Some people, you know, that have been associated with the Yankees have even said it's going to be a little bit rough to come back very fast.
Well, I don't think the expansion will have much to do with that. I mean, because I think, it'll spread it out further. I mean, and it'll make it a little easier for them.
Oh, really?
Yes, I think it'll make
it easier. I hope you're right. You said, you know, you love the game and played it a lot. What was your favorite position?
Well, I played all positions. I'd start out at shortstop. Next thing I know, I'm first base.
Right.
And I'd go in the box and pitch for a while, and then I'd go and catch. I played all positions. That was all
Which
around.
One did you like best?
Well, I like catching best.
And that's the toughest job on the team.
I really did. I like catching best.
But, Cab, I've certainly seen you doing everything in the world in show business, but to find out that you're as well-versed in baseball and all these things is a new surprise to me, and I'm sure a surprise to many of our Monitor listeners. Cab, we want to thank you very much for coming here and talking with us here on Monitor. It's been a joy.
Thank you very much.
This is Jack Haskell for Monitor.
You know, when 93,000 people celebrate a birthday on the same day, that's quite a celebration. And I'm talking about those people who make up the U.S. Air Force Aerospace Defense Command. On Thursday, ADC will be 22 years old. The men of ADC are scattered throughout North America, the Arctic, the Pacific, Europe, and the Near East. Some of those units are in places as lonely and isolated as you'd find anywhere. Wherever you are in ADC, happy birthday. You know, last Thursday, I had an experience that I would like to share with you if I can. I don't know. I feel so inadequate talking about it. But it's a kind of an experience that it's like opening up a history book and seeing people just come alive. Mrs. Garagiola and I were invited to the White House for an official dinner. And when the invitation came, it was almost like I wanted to check the address to see if it was made out to the right people. And it was. And, of course, we were both excited and didn't know what to do, having never been invited. First thing I wanted to do was check my paper, see if I belonged in this country. Found that was okay, and we accepted, and it was black tie. There were so many things that happened when we got up there and got into the White House. And Liz Carpenter, the president's press secretary, kind of took me on a tour. And to see where the president and Mrs. Johnson live in a kind of a lived-in atmosphere. For example, a television set, a radio was on. Pictures of the young Nugent baby, and almost like they had just been looking at him. And then Mrs. Johnson came out, and I had the pleasure of meeting her, and when she left, she said, "Now, Joe, you make yourself to home." And I said, "Now, how do you make yourself to home at the White House?" But the big thing, I'll tell you, was when we went to the reception. Now, they announce your name, and there are all people standing around. You don't know anybody, it seems like. In fact, the first face that I recognized was Sammy Kahn, the songwriter. Like he said on the Tonight Show, he expected to see big dignitaries. The first one he saw was me, and I felt the same way. But the big thrill came when the military aide, you could hear the ruffles in the background, and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States." And when Mr. Johnson stepped through that door, I don't care whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, or whatever you are, to see that man stand there, knowing that he represented your government, I got goose pimples all over me. Mrs. Garagiola felt pretty much the same way. And then we were in the reception line, and we had the pleasure of shaking hands, and Mr. Johnson turned to the Premier of Somalia and said, "This fellow was a baseball player, and if you tune in on radio, you'll hear him, you'll see him on television." And Mrs. Johnson said the same thing to Mrs. Egal. And Mrs. Garagiola heard this, and then she shook hands, and as she walked away, you could see she was crying. She was deeply touched. I I can't say it any other way except to say that I'm just glad that Papa Garagiola came to this country, and I just wish that he was here today to hear me talk about it.
Can you spell emphysema?
E-M-P-H-Y-S-E-M-A.
Good, Doc. Can you tell me what it is?
Well, it's a lung disease that nobody heard much about until a few years ago, and...
Wait, did you ever wonder why you hear so much about emphysema these days? Why more of us are crippled, disabled, killed each year by this disease?
Well, there must be some connection.
There is. Cigarette smoking. It's not just a coincidence. As this habit's popularity has increased, the incidence of emphysema has increased. Cigarette smoke contains billions of tiny particles that make up what's called tobacco tar. Much of this tar remains inside your body when cigarette smoke is inhaled. All too often, the result is emphysema. And the more you smoke, the greater the risk. In fact, your chances of developing emphysema are 5 times greater even if you smoke less than a pack of cigarettes a day. Write the U.S. Public Health Service, Washington, D.C., for your free booklet on emphysema.
Spelled E-M-P-H-Y-S-E-M-A.
And decide for yourself how important it can be for you to stop smoking.
Orchestra playing Most of All, There's You. Most everywhere across the country, every weekend, there's us. Monitor, I mean. And in the St. Paul, Minneapolis area, people hear us on KSTP.
The Sebring Auto Race, America's Grand Prix of Endurance, next weekend on Monitor.